I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Thursday. Good afternoon and welcome. This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3, DoubleT973.com, and the Double T 97.3 mobile app, brought to you by our friends at Happy State Bank. Yours on television, Fox 34. News now, however, and wherever you're taking us in from. We're glad that you've chosen to make us part of your Thursday. We being Mike Gustafson to my right. I'm Choice Woodman in for Clint, who's off calling a baseball game this afternoon in Odessa. Cowder Brown back behind the glass taking care of us. We welcome your thoughts, your comments, your questions, all of it in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 score. Work Double T 97.3 mobile app, which you can take just about anywhere with you. Even listen in out in Podunk, Michigan. It's a real place. There's a town.
I like it.
There's a town called Podunk in Michigan.
We all reference that from time to time.
Well, yeah. There it is. So,
I mean, I reference a lot. I use Podunk a lot.
Yeah.
Didn't even, you know.
There's a place to it. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all can hit us up however. We'll talk about a lot of things today. Get you some headlines, go through a few different things, maybe some latest Field of 64 projections for Tech baseball. We'll definitely talk some baseball. Some Big 12 football, Rangers, whatever you want to get into, bring it in on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. But some news breaking over the last hour and a half or so. Texas Tech football canceled its spring game.
Yeah, reduced it to a scrimmage there at the facility.
Indoor scrimmage, so yeah. 90% chance of rain in Midland.
Storms
supposed to be nasty and bad weather all weekend long. I think we've got similar here.
Yeah, our precipitate rain except most of Saturday. Maybe late Friday, but the last I checked. So
could have an effect on baseball.
Yeah, could. Don't know what that's going to mean. I would think that, you know, if they were trying to cram in a doubleheader or something, it would, you know, our side would probably be leaning that more towards Sunday, having played two midweeks this week, as opposed to.
You'd think so, yeah.
You'd think, but. You know, it they're probably way more interested in finding a window to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I've watched I think in the last day I've watched all three weather. I watch that stuff when the weather's dicey like this, like somebody's going to call me and ask me what I think. You know what I mean? Like, hey, relax there,
hey,
fella.
What should we do here?
But I am trying to kind of anticipate it because it does affect me because I have to be there. So I was like, man, sure would like it if this and this and this would have, like, hey, dude, you can take it down a notch.
It does affect you. Affects a lot of people.
Well, but, yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah.
But it is, yeah. You know, well, the most important thing is getting some games in. And this is a series where it's a pretty big series, obviously, this weekend because you got one of the top two teams in the Big 12 record-wise coming into your home, and you need to find a way to break a losing streak that feels like you've just found a way to lose quite a few games, all close games. Four losses in a row by a total of five runs, and that's just been I think that's been pretty frustrating for this baseball team, to say the least, because you're playing good competition, but doesn't make it any easier to swallow when you've had a chance to win games.
Hey, did you you may know this because you were just on the show with him, but did Jamie tell you what we were in Arkansas with runners in scoring position?
No, he didn't.
I know he was talking about it not being good, but
he didn't give me the specifics on it.
The only number that I've asked him for, and this was post TCU, and not I didn't include Arkansas in it. But the, you know, in Baylor, UCF and TCU. So our nine conference road games were 8 for 72 with runners in scoring position.
Ouch.
Yeah. And those are his numbers, and I give him all the credit for it because he tracks that, and he's he'll tell you that, like, that's one of the numbers he thinks is the most important, and it's hard to argue with him. And the only thing I'll say about that is, if you get a number like that, one statistical category that's way out of whack, like that, that is way out of whack bad, that you go, yeah, it's hard for some of that other stuff to mean a whole lot.
Not atrocious in Arkansas. 5 for 20.
Okay. Yeah,
so 250.
That's not
right?
awful.
Is my math.
Yeah.
Right. I'm doing my math on the.
Yeah, no, that's right. 250. Okay. But not a game breaker.
No.
At least by the numbers.
Not gonna help you a ton, not gonna kill you with.
No.
I mean it's
but 111 will.
111 will.
I mean, when you consider 8 for 72 and 5 for 20, I'll take the 5 for 20. But,
I'll take 5 for 20.
Yeah, and it's why we were in those games, I guess. But, right now they're just finding ways to get beat. It'll be something. And we say that because it'll be something different every game. We go, man, I wish we could do that base running thing there over. Oh, we should have turned that double play ball there. Oh, we didn't hit this weekend. Oh, we didn't pitch this. You know, like. And you kind of find yourself doing that too often, and it's the way to talk yourself into as the MLB guys talk yourself into an early tee time. Like, hey, what are you doing on October 1st? Well, I'm not playing baseball.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing on Memorial Day? Well, I'm not worried about the bracketology announcement thing but you know that they're also so close with some of that stuff that you go, hey, it didn't take a whole lot for that to flip, and then this thing plays pretty good over the last month. The key thing there is the level of competition over these last four conference weekends is way up there, but it's hard to imagine it's a whole lot different than going to TCU and Fayetteville.
Yeah, I think that's just right. I mean, you got to find a way to win games, and right now Tech is more so finding a way to lose games. Yeah. I mean, you went on an 8-game winning streak. And then it's been followed with a 4-game losing streak. Right.
Four games by five
by
runs.
By five total runs.
Yeah.
So,
golly.
It just seems like there may be a lack of killer instinct for this team. We just can't put games away. You got to it's not just the hitting with runners in scoring position. You lose games by playing bad defense at the end of a game, or just can't get the pitching,
missing
timely pitching when you need it. Yeah, it's
on the bases or
Got to find a way, and maybe games at home are what you need. You get three against one of the best teams in the league, and you can boost some confidence with some good play there. It is Tech Talk. We're with you till 6 o'clock today on 100TT97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from TT97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thanks for joining us on this Thursday. You're listening to Tech Talk on TT97.3 and TT97.3.com. Choice Woodman Mike Gustafson, yours here in the First United Bank studio. You can keep hitting us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, whatever you got, bring those in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Happy high five day, Gus.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's National High Five Day.
High Five Day? All right.
Do you...
Those aren't as common for me as maybe they were back in the day when, you know... I've got a cool picture of me. I didn't hit many home runs, as the records will tell you, as the actual presentation of facts will tell you.
Don't let those get in the way of a good story.
Absolutely not. I've got a good picture of me. Might be high fiving Donald. Ah, sorry.
No, you're good.
Might be high fiving Donald Harris.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'd hit a home run, crossed the plate, high fiving him, and it's kind of it's kind of got a little emotion and boom, that kind of a deal. But most of the pictures of me coming off the field were of disappointment.
No
disappointment on my face.
Singles machine, Mike Gustafson. Come on.
Hey, he just walked again. Hey. Yes. He didn't make an out.
Hey, on base. That's,
trying to set the table for Donald Harris and those guys.
Like, you would be, a nobody in today's game. Because no one likes the on-base guy. Nobody likes the singles. It's all about the long ball now.
Stick me down at the bottom of the order to turn that thing over now.
So
get it back to the thumpers.
No one knows where the very first high five happened.
Yeah, the little 30 for 30 short on that.
But yeah, there,
Glenn Burke.
The credit usually goes to Glenn Burke and Dusty Baker.
Uh-huh.
That's where the first one out there known goes. They were playing for the Dodgers 47 years ago in 1977 when they slapped hands.
Yep.
On the last game of the season on October 2nd.
Oh, wow. I remember watching that. I don't remember that much detail. But, before that, it had been the gimme five, just palms up, waist high, whack, whack.
Yep.
And then probably somewhere in there that it probably wasn't too hard from the hands to go from here to here, and a phenomenon was born, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty crazy. I would have guessed the high five would have lived, before that.
Yeah.
Like 100 years ago. But so if you're bad and you happen to screw up high fives, there is a way to never screw it up again. First, you form your hand into a flat surface, all fingers together.
Thanks for the.
Recognize or declare.
Thanks for whatever nerd on Wikipedia.
Declare this. You got to declare it.
Whatever nerd on whatever website is detailing this.
Obviously, the one is.
Hey, Joyce, would you like to high five?
Well, look at the elbow, not the hand.
Oh, is that right?
That's the key right there.
Wow.
Look at the elbow. Because if you look at the elbow, you're not going to miss. That's what they say.
And then the variations.
The nerds.
They're
out there.
The variations so if that was 77, at the end of 77 baseball season, by 89, 90, we got Bash Brothers. They're doing the forearm.
Yeah.
That was McGuire and Canseco and those dudes. There were some PEDs involved there, which is probably independent of the Bash thing, but it was kind of a cool thing to do. Yeah, it seemed like a cool thing to do. We've had football variations of this along the way, including from that era where dudes would just go forehead to forehead, kind of basically high fiving with their helmets. But
all sorts,
all kinds of fun.
Latest news from the transfer portal. Quite a bit of news on both the football and the basketball fronts over the last 24, 48 hours. So your latest on the basketball front. Of course, Tech has landed two players in the last couple of days. Big 12-wise, Kobe Johnson of West Virginia, Jeremiah Bembry of West Virginia, and Isam Mostafa of TCU all went in. How about this one? Chibuzo Agbo Jr. of Boise State has gone in, who averaged almost 14 points per game last year. Would you like to see a welcome home for that guy?
Yeah, sure.
I think I'd be okay with it, but I don't know what his
take on that would be.
13.7 points, 5.1 rebounds.
He's got to be a fifth-year guy, right? I mean, this would be a one-and-done guy?
No, he was a sophomore when he left you.
Yeah, but that was 2 years ago.
Maybe it was 2 years ago. Is that right? I don't know. It is hard to keep
up. It feels like did he play 1 year for Adams?
I think he played a year. No, I think he left with Beard.
Okay, so he probably is at most there's 2 years left, but that could be. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean.
And nothing surprises me, right?
Nothing should surprise you. I mean, this is a completely different staff. I don't know how. If there's any sort of connection at all between it, because that's what it seems to come down to. Is there any connection on your staff currently and any player out there? But Agbo shot 41% from three last year. You'd take that. That's pretty good. Yeah, you were right. Look at that. 2 years at Tech. He averaged 1.5 points per game in 21-22. So. So he didn't play for Adams, but he played 2 years under Beard.
So that means there's been 3 years since he left.
So he would be a one-year guy.
Yeah, unless there was a medical redshirt in there, I guess, somewhere. But yeah, interesting.
One-year guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that news that it has obviously come out in the last little bits. Also, someone asked earlier, someone sent in a text earlier about the football guys and how big of a deal is it for Tech to lose the two running backs?
So, I think the answer to that is connected to or tied to I think those dudes have been passed. All right. I think Cam Dickey is who's a true freshman. He actually came in January.
Right.
Like should be lining up his prom date right now, yep. But instead he's here being very impressive in football. I think what has happened here is he's pushed his way into this conversation. Maybe it says the third running back, but if a young dude, if you're sitting there as a second year, third year guy, and there's a young dude that's pushed past you on the depth chart or getting more reps than you in practice or whatever, you kind of look around and go, uh-oh, I got a problem here.
Yeah.
Because at best, I'm only playing if as A, his backup, or B, if he's hurt. And, you know, those dudes don't get to their second and third year, the two that you're talking about, which is what, Donnell and Willis, right?
Right.
Yeah. Who are both third and second year guys. Those guys are the ones that are going, this probably isn't good. And I think the answer has to do with how good Cameron Dickey is.
Yeah, we'll continue that conversation on the other side, get some more of your thoughts, get Kyler's play of the day, squeeze that in as well. All of that still to come. You are listening to Tech Talk right here on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Choice Woodman in for Clint, who's off calling a baseball game for me. Friendship and Permian. You can find that game right now on Sunny 97.7. As that one's getting underway. Friendship trying to stay in first place in that District 2 6A race. Mike Gustafson to my right. We'll continue some conversation we were just talking about with some Tech football. All of that in a little bit. Rangers won earlier today as they took down the Tigers to take 3-4 in that series. Rangers have their largest lead of the year in the AL West standings at 1.5 games. So
a little early for that, but I like it. It's good news to report.
Coming off of World Series, everything's riding high still.
I like
it. It's going to be high the whole year, so it's good. Rangers beat Detroit 9-7 this afternoon. Bobby Hot Dogs asked, where's that nitwit from Kansas today? That's where he is, down at Odessa Permian.
He's in Odessa Permian. You can hear his voice down the dial, right?
Absolutely, 97.7. Not very far down the dial.
No, that's just right. Just a little tiny turn to the right.
Couple notches. Clicks. Yep. All right, let's get to Kyler's play of the day.
MLB record.
Snap is to Payton. Protection stays in. He throws to Stokely. That's the record breaker. He broke it to Stokely.
You're looking at a living legend right now.
An absolutely beautiful throw to Stokely right out of the break. Caught it on the run, and it's number 49, and Dan Marino can take a step back. Peyton Manning can lead it.
The record they thought would never be broken has been broken.
If I call a pass play to Marvin, he never says, you sure you don't want it to Reggie?
What? Peyton looks for the quick throw, lobs it in the corner to Marvin. Touchdown! That's the record breaker! Woo! The 86 touchdown pass from Manning to Marvin Harrison.
You keep it. We'll split it.
Or not.
On this day in 1998, the Indianapolis Colts selected Peyton Manning, future first ballot Hall of Famer, with the first overall pick. And I also have one more for you guys.
Get it.
good. That's a broken bat flare down the line to right and sinks in there for Marte. Betts over to dig it out. Marte headed to second. He's going to try for three. Mookie's throw right on the money. Oh, Mookie.
If you haven't seen this throw, he threw it from almost the warning track in foul territory on the first baseline and got it all the way to third base and got that out. It was a crazy throw.
It's amazing to really process how good that dude is.
Oh yeah,
Mookie.
Yep.
You know, and I repeat myself on the show a lot, so pardon me if this is old news, but the scout who signed him, a guy named Danny Watkins, and Coach Wad, we called him Coach Wad.
Coach Wad.
He was our GA my freshman year. I think he'd been here 3 years with Coach Ashby, but he and I had him on one day. I filled in with Coach Ash and got him on the, you know, he called in on TNA and we talked and all, but he would tell, and I said that, I said, hey, your claim to fame, I mean, he's been in scouting for 25 years. He started the baseball program at Vernon.
Really?
Vernon Junior College, yeah, in 87, I guess. But he, Coach Watkins has been a scout over in that part of the country, Alabama, Tennessee, up into that, you know, Mississippi. And he's popped his head in the booth in Biloxi both times that I went with Jamie to call Tech over there and said hi. And, you know, it was one of the few times that a rain delay was great because he nor I had anything to do with it. So he came up and we got to visit for about 30, 45 minutes. But, yeah, the funny thing is, all of this leading up to, is he goes, hey, don't give me too much credit. He goes, if you saw my notes on what I thought – Mookie Betts was going to be in the big leagues, it wasn't this. Like, you know, MVP, right fielder, defensive guru. It's kind of like, hey, this guy's got a chance to be a second baseman, or maybe he's going to hit a little.
That's funny.
And now it's like, you know, he went from being the best defensive right fielder in the shooting match to moving in there and like, hey, I'll cover short this year, fellas.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, I mean, I don't say who does that, but it's a short list. And by getting himself to shortstop, it allows probably them to be a little more offensive by putting another outfielder out there as opposed to him standing right and then putting some little banjo-hitting utility guy at short. You like that banjo?
I like that pretty
good.
That's an old
man baseball term there.
A couple from the chat line. Robert says, repeat the news. I just started listening in. I don't know which news you're talking about. Maybe Tech football not doing a spring game that was canceled. So, someone says, "Hey guys, I just missed the player's name for basketball you just talked about. Is he possibly coming back to Tech?" It was Agbo. No indication that he's coming back to Tech or anything. I'm saying I wouldn't mind him. He just went into the portal. That's all. He went into the portal earlier this afternoon. So there's that. This question: how big is the loss for TCU with a defensive lineman in the portal? Is it going to be the new norm? Is this going to be the new norm for the Big 12? So TCU, I think this was last night, yesterday afternoon. TCU lost Dominic Williams, who was a All-American, freshman All-American 2 years ago. He was an All-Big 12 selection last year on the defensive line. That's a huge loss. Lose an interior defensive lineman like that. As far as, is this the new norm for the Big 12? I mean, getting players poached, I think it's already kind of been happening. But if you're talking about the best players in the country not being in the Big 12, largely that's been the case at a high school. And I don't know if it's going to happen at a higher rate for whenever, hey, there's one elite guy.
Sure.
Because it sounds like there's a connection between him and Lincoln Riley and that he's going to end up at USC.
Well.
So are we going to see that kind of poaching in the Big 12? I don't know.
It doesn't take much. I mean, it doesn't have to be illegal by, you know, you call the guy's high school coach and go, hey, tell him if he's unhappy or vice versa.
Yeah.
Call your high school coach or whatever, and baseball, basketball, whatever. Yep. It's a summer league deal or whatever, and go, hey, tell Coach so-and-so.
Seeing plenty of it, yeah.
Mercy. Mercy.
Gus will take us back in time. Coming up next, you're listening to Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk. We continue here on Double T 97.3 and Double T973.com, the Double T 97.3 mobile app. And yours on television, Fox 34 News Now. You got Mike Gustafson to my right. I'm Choice Woodman in for Clint today. Kyler Brown back behind the glass taking care of us. Keep hitting us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, still welcome. 45 minutes out from Ask Tech Talk, so if you got any questions, bring those in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can reach us there through the 100.7 The Score mobile app, which you can carry just about anywhere with you. Even listening out in Booger Hole, West Virginia. Hmm. It's never too early for trash talk, right? I mean, they'll be getting to town maybe right about now.
Yeah,
they could be right. Listening yeah. over.
Would assume they chartered.
I would guess so.
I would assume, yeah.
So y'all can chime in with whatever you've got on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I got a list for you, Gus.
Okay.
List here of Big 12 quarterbacks. This one was compiled. Let me see who put this one together. This is Big 12 quarterback rankings according to the Sporting News this morning.
Okay.
We'll see how much you agree or disagree with the placement. And they've gone by team, so I don't know if this is ranking by quarterback rooms, but they've listed starter and the backup.
Okay.
But
oh, all right. That may have a little bit of
it may have yeah.
That may have a little bit of room.
Who do you think would be number one in the Big 12 going into 2024?
You probably have to start with who's the best quarterback. Who? I don't know. Yeah, but who's the most touted returner?
Who's it?
I would go with, which is kind of interesting because we're talking about somebody that the first two that come to mind, maybe three. I would go, some combination of the, I don't start to say the legacy Big 12, they're not legacy, but West Virginia, or I would go probably Colorado, Utah. I don't know what Cam Rising is, but
okay.
The fact that he was out all last year may knock him off the top of a list like this.
For this list, they have Colorado at number one.
Okay.
Shedeur Sanders, 35 career starts. He's backed up by freshman Ryan Staub. Number two, they have Arizona, the sophomore Noah Fifita, had nine starts last year. Mm-hmm. He looked really good, looked pretty good. Number three, they have Cam Rising.
Okay.
So you had that 25 career starts at Utah, despite missing last year with a ton of injury. Number four on their list, they've got the Kansas Jayhawks and the junior Jalen Daniels, who has 21 career starts to his name, but was also knocked out pretty well of last year. Five is a newcomer to the Big 12, but the most experienced one as far as starts, UCF's KJ Jefferson, who started 39 games at Arkansas. So no one has more starts under his belt than KJ Jefferson at UCF. Six, Iowa State sophomore Rocco Becht. Started all 13 games for the Cyclones. One of, I believe, three quarterbacks in the Big 12 to start all of their games last year. Seven, a guy that's still, you know, running laps around Tech fans' minds. Avery Johnson.
Golly.
And K-State.
With the five TDs rushing against us, right?
Yep. Only had one start last year. He only started one game, but was successful in a backup role a lot. So the question with him is, how does he do taking over the team full-time? He's number seven.
And remember, that'll be new offensive coordinator because the like Avery Johnson felt like prototype for the Colin Klein offense that we've come to know. And the Colin Klein offense felt like it was the Snyder offense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the latter part of the Bill Snyder offense, but you know, the run pass combo and just, you know, not afraid to call that QB lead and go pound you, and then, you know, just always good on execution, and like Avery Johnson felt like he was built for that Colin Klein situation.
Sure, now, sure he did.
Doesn't mean Colin Klein went to A&M, and that doesn't mean that Avery Johnson won't to do good things with the new guy.
It doesn't mean they haven't replaced him with someone that's going to be similar and right. Put him in similar situations. But that is a big loss for both Will Howard and Colin Klein to take off. And what does that do for K-State as a whole? We'll see. West Virginia, Garrett Green, number eight.
I had him in my top three.
I think this is a little low for him. 14 career starts there. I think it's a little low. They've got him low on the list. Houston's Donovan Smith, number nine. 20 career starts. 12 at Houston, 8 at Texas Tech. Donovan Smith, number nine. Baylor, they've got senior Daquan Finn. I couldn't have told you that he was starting for Baylor this year.
Yeah, I just remembered that they had brought in someone from the MAC.
Toledo.
I think I could have told you that.
Yep, 33 starts at Toledo.
And the only reason that resonated with me was that it felt like he's stepping in ahead of Sawyer Robertson from Coronado, and it appears to be that way. But,
well, and I'm curious, does Sawyer Robertson stay there after this spring? 11, Oklahoma State, Alan Bowman. 29 starts there. 12, Baron Morton, Texas Tech. TCU's Josh Hoover, 13. BYU's Gary Bohannon, who started 12 games at Baylor and 7 at UCF. He's 14. Cincinnati's Brendan Sorsby, transfer from Indiana. And then last on the list, Jaden Rashada at Arizona State. Remember him for his NIL stuff in Florida. So there's sporting news list. Y'all can agree or disagree with placement of some of those guys on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll hit you with some headlines with the juice. Coming up next, a big one for football over the weekend. We'll tell you about it on Double T97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thrilled to be part of your Thursday. You are listening to Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Gus, I told you I'd give you a couple of projections here. You may or may not have seen these, but Baseball America and D1 Baseball put out their latest Field of 64 brackets, if you will, regional sets for different teams. As we get closer to the postseason, though, we're still quite a ways off. Here's the one for first. Texas Tech is in both Field of 64 projections by Baseball America.
That's the big deal.
Yeah, you're in right now. If the season ended today, I think you're solidly in the tournament. I know there's people that feel like the sky is falling, that Texas Tech baseball doesn't know what they're doing over there in that office or whatever. You can read all sorts of stuff on the internet. But you're in the tournament if it started today. Baseball America still has Tech as a 2 seed currently. Ooh. In
A&M still?
Lexington.
Oh.
Lexington.
Been there before, although it was on the old field, six years ago. But
yes.
And that was part of a home and home with those guys.
That's right.
You know, when you get the "we never play anybody" text every once in a while, like, oh, okay, that
you
home
did
and
have
home.
A home and home. We had Iowa last year. Yeah, we've had a few.
We did Berkeley. We did
Stanford. Had open the season with Oregon, 5 or 6 years
19.
Back?
Yeah, 19. Yeah. And opened it with them in 19, and we're they were coming back in 20, and COVID happened.
Yep.
They were coming back for a two-game midweek in 20.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway.
So, Kentucky, the fifth national seed in this.
They're filthy good.
Texas Tech, Indiana, and Bowling Green. So,
yeah, that Kentucky deal, of course, I'd confess to maybe that's not a surprise, but I think a lot of folks are, at the magnitude of how good they are.
Yeah, that's
are
good
impressed. Now, you know what they did in 2019? Opened a new stadium.
Yeah.
Like a big, nice new one.
I mean, it's,
like that stuff helps.
It's hard to not sit there and watch Bomb Walker and watch some of these, especially when you're looking at the SEC, and just say, man, that looks shiny. That looks nice.
Hey, and in 3 weeks, we get to go deal with the one that we have to recruit against.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal right there.
It's a very big deal. And you're wanting and you gotta, to keep I mean, up. It's,
yeah, we've always recruited against them. And and they're what, 4 or 5 years in that thing?
Yep. Which to me, they've underperformed. For
I would tell you the same thing.
What they've got over there.
Your boy Holiday.
My boy Holiday.
Your boy Holiday.
If you're just ranking coaches in the Big 12 across all sports, he is bottom five for me as far as guys I can't stand.
And the thing is like it's not a punk. It's not because he's a a-hole. It's like all that is him. There's like this weird arrogance thing around
there's
it
an
and
arrogance,
all that.
Yeah, a whininess. Right. Yeah, it's just
and he's not because he's not this like bratty turd or whatever.
No,
he's not like some of the basketball coaches that prance up and down the sideline and make you mad. It's like a different. It's like a different kind
Jamie
of
Dixon.
Annoyance.
Yeah, man, yeah. The other projected field of 64 from D1Baseball.com has Tech as a 3 seed. In Winston-Salem, they've got
mercy.
Wake Forest is the number 11 national seed. UC Irvine, which is a tough team, and Texas Tech.
Really, Irvine going across the country?
That's
holy Moses!
Oh, Fresno State, the 4-1. So two
come
cross
on
country
all
trips.
The way to
that's not
going to
happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
That's D1 baseball. I feel like they just like okay, here's our leftovers. Let's toss them in there. But
golly,
yeah, they have OSU. As the host. Number 13 national seed.
That's not the – I've heard that for a couple weeks, and they've still got to play their way into that happening, which a lot of these do. If any of these fall apart, then something
absolutely
could break. It's also a really nice facility. That's a key part of it, but you earn the right to host.
You're listening to Tech Talk, Double T97.3.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.